There's a man in the funny papers we all know. He lives way back a long time ago. He don't eat nothing but a bear cat stew. Well, this cat's name is Alley-Oo. He got a chauffeur that's a genuine dinosaur. And he can knuckle your head before you count too far. He got a big ugly club and a head full of howler. Like great big lions and grizzly bears. He's the toughest man that is alive. Wearing clothes from a wildcat's hide. He's the king of the jungle jazz.
Look at that caveman go.
He rides through the jungle tearing limbs off of trees. Knocking great big monsters dead on their knees. The cats don't bug him cause they know better. Cause he's a mean motor scooter and a bad go-getter. He's the toughest man there is alive. Wears clothes from a wildcat's hide. He's the king of the jungle jive.
Look at that caveman go.
There he goes. Look at that caveman go. He sure is hip, ain't he? Like what's happening? He's too much. Ride, daddy, ride. Hi-yo, dinosaur. Ride, daddy, ride. Get 'em, man. Like hips, Bill. You know. Ooh, wow.
Well, I don't know if I ought to play that song on Freya's Day or not. We didn't come up with a real good song for Freya's Day, so we figured we'd put Alley-Oop in there. Yeah. Hey, this is Terrible Tommy in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana. And just down the road from P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's where you send your donations for the radio show and get some more people sending donations in for the radio show. We want a big, long list of people, okay? Everything's going fine over at Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern on Christmas holidays here. It's jam-packed every day, every night, man. And they even lean over the back fence looking at those weapons of mass destruction out there sitting in the snow. They're getting all anxious for the spring when they can get out in that field and get themselves a real badass weapon of mass destruction, take it back home. Yeah, gas went up about 25 cents at Terrible Tommy's gas station. Wow. But I cut it back down, cut it in half, so we got a lot of people coming in here for gas now, too. Well, I see they got that guy over in Germany. He got him down in Italy, but he ran, like Johnny Cash said, he ran real fast, but he ran too slow. They overtook him down in Mexico. No, they overtook him down in Italy, Italia. But will you tell Angela over there, Miss Merkel, that if she hadn't led all those people into Germany, it wouldn't have happened in the first place? So they solved the problem after the fact instead of before the fact. You never win that way. Well, a head guy down there in the Philippines is telling them where to go. Son of a bitch, shut up, Duarte tells the UN rights chief over a murder probe. He's bumping off drug dealers. Yeah, I don't think that's all bad. Maybe it'll catch on over here. One sad part about it, there's a lot of skinheads got involved in this kind of stuff. Yeah, what are we going to do about that? I think I'll bring Mr. Duarte over here to clean up this drug problem. In the wake of the 2016 presidential election, news organizations across the country are scrambling to cover high-profile reports of hate crimes. Now, several of the reports have been summarily debunked, like they always have been over the years. Those inclined to review all hate crimes with skepticism or outright disbelief applauded as a woman who claimed Donald Trump supporters accosted her in New York City and was charged with filing a false report. Ann Arbor police said a woman reports that a man threatened to light her on fire if she wouldn't remove her hijab. That was false, too. And an African-American, otherwise known as a nigger, parishioner, was charged with arson for burning down a black church where Vote Trump was scrawled on the side days before the election. Well, that's not uncommon because a lot of these black people insure the hell out of these backwater churches and then they burn them down for the insurance money. That's been going on for a long time. But the first reports in the news you'll get is a hate crime. It's a hate crime. The other story, the real story doesn't come out till weeks later on the back page where they use cars. With each new false report, the falsely framed one, conservative voices have scoffed that the proverbial shepherd has once again been crying wolf as part of a liberal agenda to delegitimize Trump's presidency even before it begins. Well, of course it is. What do you expect the Jew left to do? Oh, man. But the academics, civil rights organizations, and law enforcement agencies who study and track these acts say one thing is clear. Hate crimes are on the rise. Well, that's because they're adding more to the hate crime all the time. By the time we get done, all white people will be born guilty of a hate crime. While nationwide numbers for 2016 aren't yet available, oh my God, I can't wait. New York City has seen a 31% rise in hate crimes so far this year, compared to the same period last year, with the number directed at Muslims going up by more than 100% from 12 to 25. And I'll guarantee you almost all of those were committed by people of color, you know. In the 10 days following the presidential election, the Southern Millionaires Law Center, there's old Morris Days again, he's still alive. I thought he would have died of a bad sexual disease a long time ago, but he must have got treated with the latest medicine. He's got the money, man. They reported 867 incidents. Now, these incidents, they don't list the incidents and what happened. If somebody knocked off somebody's hat or somebody called somebody a, yeah, daddy, no good, that, all that kind of stuff is a hate crime. You do that to a white person? Yeah, it's no problem. Targeting African Americans, Muslims, immigrants, women, and LGBT. Well, a lot of those women are white. So that doesn't fit. Online harassment was not included in the tally. And predominantly white Trump devotees were themselves the target of some of these crimes. Oh. I would say a lot of them. A lot of those crimes. People have experienced harassment at school, at work, at home, on the street, at the hamburger stand, in the whorehouse, in public transportation, on the ski slope, in their cars, in grocery stores, and other places of business, and in their houses of worship, according to the SPLC, Southern Millionaires Law Center. And they know. Those guys know, man. They're on the ball. And alleged acts of intimidation have not been exclusive to non-whites. Some incidents, including violent physical altercations, graffiti, and verbal harassment, were directed at the Trump campaign or his supporters. The SPLC documented several incidents, including one involving an Asian American woman. She's an Asian racially. She was reportedly told to go home as she left a mass transit station in Oakland, California. And by God, that is a hate crime. That is very hateful. I have experienced discrimination in my life, but never in such a public and unashamed manner, she said. It's terrible. It's terrible. They got to deport all these white people. But I'll bet you it was a black person that gave her trouble. I'll bet you anything. Likewise, according to the civil rights group founded by Morass Dees, a black resident whose apartment was vandalized with the phrase 9/11 nigger, reported that he had never witnessed anything like this. Don't forget, Morass Dees was accused by his ex-wife of sexually bad acts against his stepdaughter. Remember that? That's a hate crime, man. That's really a hate crime. Likewise, according to the civil rights group founded by Morass Dees, the organization says that a Los Angeles woman encountered a man who told her he was going to beat her pussy. That's pretty hard to do. That's a hard target. She said that she was in the neighborhood, that neighborhood, all the time and never experienced this type of language before. They never said anything about pussy. And in Sunnyvale, California, a transgender person reported being targeted with homophobic slurs at a bar. Some guy probably asked him, "Are you a transgender person?" "Ah, that's a hate crime. I've been a regular customer for 3 years, never had any issues," the person told the SPLC. They must go around the country to every bar and every place. "Have you been attacked? Somebody said something nasty about you? We'll help you out." "I've been a regular customer for 3 years." Well, I read that. Like actual hate crimes, hoaxes cross the political spectrum, with false reports including the wife of a police officer in Massachusetts who finally admitted to an elaborate hoax in which she claimed burglars stole tens of thousands of dollars of jewelry from her home and then spray-painted a Black Lives Matter insignia on it. And a New York firefighter, now on trial for burning down his own home, who tried to frame Black Lives Matter for it. Everybody get into the act, man. Some of the things we see with regard to false reports of hate crimes. When are you going to start listing love crimes? Include mental instability, people who are out for publicity or elevation of status. Well, that's how I can get some publicity. I never thought of that. Or they want attention pointed to a particular social, political grievance that they have. "Well, I got a lot of grievance, goddammit," said Brian Levine, a professor at California State University, San Bernardino, who studies hate crimes all day long, half the night. He studies them. We also see insurance fraud and things like that. Yeah, niggers burning down their churches. One of the things you're going to have to look for, too, is how to publicize this, Levine added. Once there's a lot of publicity, you're going to have people who just want the publicity or the status elevation. Oh, they wouldn't do that. Whether concocted for political causes, motivated by a bid for public sympathy, or to cover by illicit behavior, such deceptions are exceedingly rare, between 2% and 8% of all reported cases. According to FBI, Levine told the Daily Beast that you can depend on those people, they always tell the truth, that the NYPD reclassified about 9% of crimes initially pegged as hate crimes, including real crimes that investigators determined do not meet the hate crime standard. That said, in 2015, the most recent year for which numbers are available from the FBI, famous but incompetent, which released them this November. Hate crimes increased by nearly 7%. That sure as hell not very much. That said, in 2015, most recent year for numbers available from the FBI, which released them this November, hate crimes increased by, oh, I already read that, including 5,818 recorded incidents related to race. He said I was a beautiful nigger. That's a hate crime, man. Even though statistics are far from comprehensive, Levine points out that other national data aggregators come up with different numbers, and even the FBI's state totals can sometimes differ widely from the final numbers. Well, that's enough of that bullshit. Liars. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Here's the Negro that burned down his church. 45-year-old member of a black church in Greenville, Mississippi, is in custody for burning down in November when the words Vote Trump were also sprayed, painted on its side. Associated Press reported Wednesday that Andrew McClinton of Leland, Mississippi, is scheduled to appear in court Thursday for a single charge of first-degree arson of a place of worship. The Hopewell Missionary Baptist Church was destroyed by a November 1st fire. McClinton, who's a Negro, is a member of the church. Hopewell Missionary Baptist Bishop Clarence Green told the AP. Okay, now let's get a little bit more of this story. Second here. Mississippi Insurance Commissioner Mike Cheney, who also serves as the state's fire marshal, told the AP that the investigators don't believe McClinton's crime was politically motivated. Are you kidding? It's not politically motivated. What the hell is it? It's trying to get people to get mad at Trump. But added there may have been some efforts to make it appear politically motivated. I'm not going to read any more of this article. These guys are out of their mind. I'm sure this is a white guy. This commissioner said, oh, there's no connection to politically motivated crime. No, no, not at all.
Where's Dahmer when I need him? Because you know that white man was eating niggas, wasn't he? Tastes just like chicken. Having a good time. The boy worked at a chocolate factory. That should have told somebody something. All he found in his icebox was mayonnaise and Louisiana hot sauce. He was having a good time. And the black neighbors were funny, weren't they? I heard all that sawing. I thought the boy was building shelves. Another black neighbor said, well, I heard him arguing all the time, but I never heard nobody answer him back. The white folks have got real quiet. White people do not like to hear about white folks eating niggas. Trust me. They get real quiet. This is not funny anymore. Well, he was eating them. I wasn't. That motherfucker was eating niggas. Live with it. That's why, see, I just think white people stared at us because they were curious about Dahmer. Now I know white people are cannibals. They staring because they hungry. Waiting to catch a nigga on that freeway with a flat. This white man ate folks, okay? You see his trial? You'd have thought he was a Vogue model. They were so casual with this motherfucker. If that was a nigga, 8, 17 young white boys, they'd have brought him in a cage chained with tape on his mouth. Don't go near him. He eats people. Don't go near him. And for the next 100 years, all your white friends would have wore you out with that. I'm liberal and stuff, and I'd like to live next to you, but, you know, I wouldn't want to wake up and be your breakfast. Oh, you remember when you niggas flipped out in the early 90s? Started eating white folks. You remember? Because that's their fantasy with us. Big bone, big pot. Oh, they're going to get us. And all the time is white folks trying to get a hold of a Mac nigga. McDonald's new burger. Mac nigga. Oh, I buy one. I had two for one Mac niggas. Look, you guys have been wonderful, and I love it that I can attract minorities. I love that, and I mean this. I hope you can appreciate what I say. Even if you don't like what I say, defend my right to say it, because this is America. And this is true. No, I mean this. It's real. And I know that it makes white folks nervous, because I went to those white schools, and I want a piece of the cake. I want the fucking ready.
You just got to have some of that nigger humor, I'll tell you. Right in the middle of the show. Too serious, all this hate crime stuff. Yeah, I want to hear about Mac Nigger and stuff like that. Well, 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 boys and girls, the organizer of a Jerusalem conference for political conservatives said he is bewildered by an Israeli foreign ministry decision to shut out a Swedish participant on the assumption that her party has neo-Nazi tendencies. Now you don't even have to join or belong to a Nazi group. You just have to have tendencies. It seems that there was poor research done by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, said Joel Anden-Sammy, co-founder of the International Leaders Summit, which convened its second annual conference this week in Jerusalem. Leaders from the conservative parties worldwide attended, including Becky Norton Dunlop, a senior member of Donald Trump's presidential transition team. Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, the JetBlue passenger who confronted Ivanka Trump on a flight is a Jewish lawyer from Brooklyn who was traveling with his husband and child. Your father is ruining the country, lawyer Daniel Jennings Goldstein snapped at the future first daughter as he boarded the morning flight at John F. Kennedy Airport. Whoa. Let's read some more of that. Let's get some more of that stuff, man. That's hot stuff. Quote, "Oh my God, this is a nightmare," unquote, a witness quoted Goldstein as saying. The New York Daily News reported, quote, "They ruined the country, now they ruined our flight." "Why is she on our flight?" Goldstein added. "She should be flying private." Interesting. Earlier this month, a Guardian newspaper in Britain reported that the top Google search result for the question, "Did the Holocaust happen?" was an article entitled "Top 10 Reasons Why the Holocaust Didn't Happen," published by the neo-Nazi site Stormfront. Among the first page of the results were similar articles from Holocaust hoax forums and anti-Semitic websites. Buried in the middle was the Wikipedia page for Holocaust denial. When confronted with the issue, a Google spokesman said that while they were saddened by the continued existence of hate organizations, the company only alters search results in instances of illegal content, malware, and violations of the webmaster guidelines. Yeah. Now, a Jewish museum is taking matters into its own hands, but Google is reaping the rewards. David Shendovich, the marketing director of Bremen Museum in Atlanta, Georgia, told The Guardian in a follow-up piece that the museum was paying Google up to $2 a click in an effort to make its own site appear higher in the search results. In other words, Google is earning money off a Jewish museum fighting back against Holocaust deniers. Quote, "It is a very hot topic, and what bothers me is that the denier site is right at the top," Shendowitz said. "It's nauseating. I talked to so many people who survived it. It did happen. We have all the evidence. Of course, lots of Jews died, perhaps a few hundred thousand. But that doesn't make your 6 million thing work out. On here, how could someone possibly believe that the Holocaust did not happen? Well, first you need to explain exactly the Holocaust, how many people allegedly died and how they were killed, and get to the bottom of the facts. You can call 100,000 people that got killed, well, that's a Holocaust. You could say 200,000 people got killed, that's a Holocaust, you know. But they don't want to do that. They just want to say Holocaust, and then you're forced into saying, oh, yeah, I believe in 6 million Jews died. Yeah, which could not possibly have happened. Well, let's see what Kaiser's got to say today. This is a half of a program he did just the other day, I guess.
Well, Craig Fertz, Dr. Roberts, welcome back.
Thank you, Max.
All righty, we had a fascinating discussion. We're going to continue with it. I want to mention right at the top again, you are on a blacklist of bloggers, writers, and websites who should be tried for treason. In response, you've joined an action against the Washington Post and this Proper Not group. And I should mention that since we're here today, it appears as though the coup did not take place, because otherwise we would have been captured by now and thrown into jail. So there was no coup, thank goodness. Now, let's talk a little bit about more about this coup attempt. I mean, Barack Obama actually got up there in front of the people, and who could hear him, what he was coming out of his mouth. I mean, it wasn't just talking soliloquy into the bathroom. He was making a public speech that, you know, the Russians hacked into the elections and it upset us. I mean, talking total nonsense and spewing garbage. And his legacy now, instead of being on Mount Rushmore, it'll be on Mount Garbage.
It should be, because, you know, voting machines are not connected to the Internet, so they can't be hacked by the Russians.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. You're talking logic there. That's not right. Now, let's talk about Donald Trump for a second here. He's already gone hard on the defense contractors from Boeing to Lockheed Martin. He's already, you know, kind of given them a heads up that he's going to come after their budgets. And, of course, he's hit the CIA really hard. What do you make of him turning down intelligence briefings? You know, he said, I don't read the intelligence briefings. Or he gave it something like, I read them every once in a while. What does that all mean? You're a Washington insider. Tell us about that.
Well, I think what it means is he doesn't want to give the CIA a chance every day to brainwash him or to win him over to their agenda.
The CIA reports leading up to 9/11 warned of an attack, but it was ignored. So I guess he's thinking, well, you know, what's going on here? He thinks that they've got a brainwashing on a daily basis, or not.
Well, you know, the whole thing is suspicious, isn't it, Max? How would the CIA be able to warn of an attack when later the White House claims we had no idea about any of this?
That's exactly right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. There seems to be a disconnect anyway between these two pieces of government. If Trump makes it to the White House, what do you think of his cabinet so far, what he's picked?
Well, you know, he's picking strong people, which if you're going to have change from the top, you got to have a strong personality like Trump. You can't do that if you're conciliatory or you're going along with everything. So, and the people he's choosing, you know, one of his main goals, he says, is to restore normal relations with Russia. So his Secretary of State makes perfect sense. This is a guy on good terms with Putin. So if you want to restore relations with Russia, then you need somebody like that, right? So his national security advisor, another general, but he's the guy who blew the whistle on Obama administration sending ISIS to Syria. I mean, he actually blew the whistle on that. That other general is the guy who told Trump torture doesn't work and backed him off of that. Plus, if you're unsure about what the CIA or some elements of the military security complex is going to do, it's nice to have some well-connected generals there.
Mm. So, let's talk about Rex Tillerson for a second. CEO of Exxon, now he's going to be over there at the Secretary of State. Now, what's interesting is that, you know, you would know better than I would, because you're going to go back into the Washington history a bit, but during the second oil embargo, laws were changed, and that you could not sue foreign governments in relation to the oil and the oil pricing and the oil gouging. The full story, we can fill in the details. But as a result, a company like Exxon, unable to go through the courts to go after what they think are injustices, they end up developing their own internal security apparatus, their own internal mechanisms. In other words, he's already overrunning a bit of a, what's the phrase I'm looking for? The State Department, a mini State Department within Exxon right now. Isn't that the, kind of the true?
That probably is true, yes, which would be another good reason to have him as Secretary of State. You know, when you pick somebody from outside the system, it's harder for the oligarchs to get hooks into them, particularly a man like that, because he's not prone to be kowtowing to anybody. And so I would say on the whole that Trump is trying to get people who are not only willing to back him up, but capable of standing up to people and doing that. So I think if you can't judge any of his appointees on the basis of their past associations. You've got to judge them on the basis of whether or not Trump is really serious. And if he is, he's got to have this type of people.
It's like he's gathered up a posse.
That's
like,
right.
He went into the town and said, I need a posse. We're going to go after these trade, you know, inflictors. Yeah. And he got the baddest hombres, as he calls them, of the bunch. Now, if under the right leadership, they can be doing it. Now, the Goldman Sachs picks, of course, you know, we've been railing against Goldman Sachs for years. They're the deepest crooks in the swamp. He's got two or three of them in his cabinet now. You know, let me ask you a question. You are quite familiar with the world of banking and finance. Wouldn't he just go to these guys and say, look, we've got $20 trillion in debt. Show me how to cut the debt by $10 trillion, and I'll give you 1% fee. That's a $100 billion fee, right? Right? Am I right? I mean, who wouldn't take that deal?
You know, this Treasury Secretary left Goldman Sachs, what, 14 years ago?
Yeah.
He's been making movies. He had his own investment firm. We know a lot of people who work for Goldman Sachs who really dislike Goldman Sachs and are after him. Nomi Prinz is always after him. Pam Martins. So we can't, these are not people to judge by their past associations. We've got to give Trump 6 months, assuming the CIA gives him 6 months, and see what happens.
Look, when the government wants to stop hackers, they hire hackers.
Right.
And if the Trump
right.
wants to snuff out the bad bankers, he's going to have to hire bankers.
He's got to have somebody that knows about it.
Right. You can't yeah. just... Okay. Now, he said recently, Donald Trump, that we're about the largest purchaser of pharmaceuticals anywhere in the world, and yet we can't negotiate the price. Okay, so what's wrong with U.S. patients having their government negotiate prices for them the same way the government negotiates trade deals for corporations?
Yeah, nothing. And the people are glad to hear this. You know, it's this type of talk is why he got elected. Because he's the first one who says, I'm here for you. We're going after these guys. We're going to get them. They haven't heard anybody say that in my lifetime.
No.
So it's easy to see why Flyover America elected him. Now, a lot of people say, well, he's not serious. Well, if he's not serious, why is there such a concerted effort to keep him out of the presidency? I mean, they tried to destroy his... the Republican nomination campaign, that was all over him. They were all over him in the presidential election. They're all over him before he's inaugurated. There has to be a reason for that. So they do see him as a threat. And I think the ordinary people see that their enemy sees Trump as a threat. So they're behind him.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
It's my friend.
All right, so your thoughts on Trump's plans for a 35% tax on corporations that outsource jobs. I mean, this has been your bugaboo ever since we've talked, going back years. The whole outsourcing of jobs is what has gutted America and killed America. Your thoughts on this plan?
Well, you see, he's aware of it, and he's trying to deal with it. I think the best way to deal with that would be to tax the corporations based on the geographical location where they add value to their product. If they add value in the United States, they should have a low tax rate. If they add value in China or Indonesia or somewhere, they should have a high tax rate. And that tax rate difference can offset the labor cost differential that takes them offshore. So he's obviously on the right track, whether 35% is the right number for taxing or not taxing.
No. Right, so you're saying basically eliminate the labor cost arbitrage.
Eliminate it with tax on
with
profits.
With tax. So it's
profits.
A company like Apple, therefore, to source their labor in China or America, it's a net same cost because of the tax differential that will be imposed on them if they go offshore.
That's exactly the only way you can do it.
And you think that'll work?
Well, you know, who knows? But we got to try it. We got to do something because the real median family income's not growing. The savings are being drawn down. real living standards are falling. It's a process of becoming a third world country. The United States is in the process of becoming a third world country. And so to do something about that is crucial.
What about his infrastructure plan?
Well, the infrastructure here is rotten, and they haven't done anything with it for years. They've been focused. Look, Max, we've been fighting pointless wars for 15 years. Trillions of dollars squandered. For what purpose? Nobody knows. We don't even know what these wars were about.
Right.
So they were about U.S. hegemony. It was a neoconservative ideology. And but they don't ever tell the people that. There's always there's a terrorist, or there's this, or it's just the packet of lies.
All right, let's talk about the markets for a second, because since Trump's election, you've got more than $1 trillion added to market capitalization. It's been the biggest rally probably in the history of the markets. The only comparable rally was the rally under Herbert Hoover. And then shortly thereafter came the crash and the depression.
Yeah.
Are these markets ahead of themselves, or are they? What are we missing, or what am I missing? What's going on?
I don't know. I think they're ahead of themselves. In fact, I think the market was already ahead of itself before the almost 2,000 point rise.
Right, but because you had these incredible price earnings multiples,
yeah.
Historically very high. But if those earnings on that ratio are going to double because of the tax breaks and everything else, then the PE ratio is normal. And you're back in a normal state. But let me ask you this. I mean, you've got two markets that are wildly divergent at the moment. Stock market's going higher. Bond market's going down. It's saying something different. Can those two continue to go in those directions? Can the bond market continue to go down, that is to say interest rates continue to go up, along with the stock market going up? Can those two things coexist?
Well, historically, they don't really coexist. My view, Max, is that in the 21st century, the Fed has been manipulating the hell out of the markets. They fix the bond price. They lend to the big banks for practically zero. The banks go buy dividend stocks. They're playing arbitrage. All the markets are so rigged, it's hard to say that there's any market forces making any decisions. That's the thing. I just don't agree that the market is making these decisions. The Fed has the biggest trading desk in the world. Why? They can trade anything. They're not supposed to be doing that. They're supposed to be buying and selling bonds.
Were you in Washington during the crash of 87?
Yes.
Okay, so then you started the plunge protection team the day after.
That's
Reagan,
right.
Greenspan, and Robert Rubin. And it metastasized. It's now become bigger than the market itself. Is that a fair characterization? And is that when we saw the end of free markets?
Probably. Because
what was your role in all that, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts?
I wasn't.
You have your fingerprints all over that evil doing. You're an evildoer.
I wasn't in the Treasury then. I had done my job and was doing something else for Reagan. But I think on the whole, Reagan didn't know what was going on. They just come and say, we got to do this, we got to do that, and nobody's there to tell them that you don't have to do it. So, but I think on the whole, the Fed has built this massive trading desk. They must be using it.
Right.
So,
to what extent? I mean, we hear that 85% of trading on the markets is done algorithmically. No one's actually pulling the trigger.
That's
it's
right.
Just all. Is that a fair number? Is that what's going on?
Yes.
And they read fake news. They give us fake prices. There's an old saying on Wall Street. And I'll wrap it up here. That price precedes news, right?
Right.
You see, prices move, and then the news, right?
Right. Exactly.
So what about fake prices precede fake news?
That's exactly it. Most of the examples they give of why something happened don't make any sense.
Okay, fair enough. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, thanks for being on the Kaiser Report.
What drives lone wolves? What drives lone wolves? Where do their ideas come from? Well, let's take a look here as soon as I get my desktop straightened out. If you can kill a kafir, a person who does not believe in Islam, American or European, then rely upon Allah and kill them in any manner possible. That was from a magazine from the Islamic State. ISIS, the Islamic State, may be losing territory in Iraq and Syria, but it's spread its influence across the world, reaching Paris, Brussels, San Bernardino, Orlando, Ohio State University, and now Berlin. How? ISIS has turned murder into a DIY phenomenon, a phenomenon filled with what Abdu Musab al-Zahri, the founder of the organization that morphed into ISIS, called the ecstasy of self-sacrifice and the pleasure of jihad, unquote. The caliphate has used the internet to reach out to people from 15 to 35 years old, instructing them on how to be a part of something we all need. That don't really sound like lone wolf to me. Sounds like something very well controlled, something idealistic, something better than ourselves, something that gives our lives meaning, something that makes us heroes in the eyes of our fellow humans and gems in the eyes of whatever God you are devoted to. But jihadist Islam is able to offer something more, an express ticket to paradise, the means to that palace in the heavens with rooms made of green emerald and red ruby, and your very own 72 maidens whose virginity is instantly restored after every sexual act. Kill or be killed. And where does that imperative to kill or be killed come from? Well, it comes from Muhammad, the one true prophet of the only God, Allah. It comes from Muhammad's quandary in 1625, a dilemma that Muhammad faced at the Battle of Uhud, his second military engagement. Muhammad was utterly unlike previous prophets. He did not call himself a prophet of peace. He called himself Nabiyyi, or Ilmahaha, the prophet of war. Muhammad was the only prophet to command 65 military campaigns. He was the only prophet to personally lead 27 of those military operations. And he was the only prophet to conquer 317 square miles a day for 8 years running. How did Muhammad get into the business of killing? Muhammad started out as a solid citizen of Mecca, a town in the vast barrens of what is today western Saudi Arabia. When he was 40, Muhammad was sleeping in a mountain cave where he'd gone to meditate for Ramadan when a force grabbed him around the ribs and crushed him 3 times so hard that I thought it was death. A voice told him to read. It was, he eventually concluded, the angel Gabriel delivering messages directly from God. Don't they all? Don't all these preachers and people like that? They all get visited, man. When Muhammad went home to Mecca and started preaching his godly communiques, his fellow Meccans regarded him as a nuisance and a threat. They conspired to kill him while he slept, so Muhammad fled to the town of Yathrib, 280 miles up the road, and a handful of followers fled with him. To support his believers and to repay the citizens of Yathrib for their hospitality, Muhammad made a decision that would change the course of history. He turned to violence. The caravans of Mecca carried precious cargoes that included frankincense, silk, precious metals, and leather, 1,893 miles from the Indian Ocean ports of Yemen to the south across the barren sands and northwest to Damascus in the neighborhood of the Mediterranean Sea. On their way home, the caravans carried their prophets. There was a popularly accepted taboo in the Arabian desert against attacking these lifelines of income, money, and that taboo was multiplied when it came to sacred months, a period of the year too holy for war. But Muhammad decided to break with custom and raid these long lines of camels, cash, and a handful of merchants and slaves. Then some of his followers went to the prophet one better, writes Ibn Ishhab. The members of one of Muhammad's raiding parties agreed to slay as many of the caravan riders as they could, and they performed this killing despite the fact that it was a holy month in which killing was normally forbidden. Surprisingly, Muhammad did not chastise his men for his unnecessary slaughter. He praised it. He transformed killing innocent men into a holy, noble deed. How? The victims were kafirs, unbelievers. This was the virtue, the exaltation, and the godliness of killing those who do not believe in Islam established. The owners of the caravans just happened to be the leading folks back in Muhammad's hometown of Mecca. These town fathers decided to stop Muhammad's raids by eradicating the raiders. But a strange thing happened when the Meccans, highly experienced in war, rode to Yathrib and attacked. They were defeated utterly. Many were killed. To add insult to injury, Muhammad had the bodies of the Meccans thrown into a well. Ugh, that screwed up the water, man. I can't drink that shit. So the Meccans planned a second assault, this time with their numbers strengthened by allies. Muhammad knew that the Meccans were coming. He donned two coats of mail and a helmet held on by an iron chain chin strap strapped to his sword. His bow and his bulging arrow case, then positioned his forces with their backs to a mountain. But there was a problem. The mountain of Uhud had a double hump. The Meccans could come through the pass between the two humps and attack Muhammad's men from the rear, so Muhammad positioned archers at the pass. At first, Muhammad's troops drove the Meccans from the battlefield. Exultant with their victory, Muhammad's warriors stooped to strip the Meccan bodies of their expensive weapons and clothes, a gift Muhammad in the Quran called bounty from Allah. That's a funny, you kill people and rob them, and that's coming directly from Allah. Plunder and its distribution would become so important to Islam that it is the subject of an entire chapter of the Quran. Chapter 8, Al-Anfal, the spoils of war. When Muhammad's archers saw their fellow soldiers scooping up the loot, they ran to the battlefield to pluck their share before nothing was left. This was a mistake. The Meccans doubled around the mountain, filed through the pass, and descended on the Muslims from behind. What did Muhammad's stalwart troops do? They fled, leaving Muhammad alone on the battlefield with only one bodyguard. Whoa! How could Muhammad prevent future disasters like the Battle of Uhud? How could he make sure that his men stayed on the battlefield killing the enemy even if it meant certain death? Muhammad, or Allah, came up with the idea of an express ticket to paradise for men who died killing and being killed. Specifically, killing kafirs, unbelievers. And Muhammad added one more vital detail. The Muslim paradise was not like the dull and boring Christian heaven, where you sat at the feet of God singing his praises day after day. Muhammad said that chairs made of pearl are arranged for the martyrs, and the maidens with lustrous eyes will get down from their upstairs rooms. These large-eyed maidens will be more delicious than anything you've ever seen on earth. They will be beautiful, full-breasted, big titties, eternally young, with wide and beautifully lovely eyes. Muhammad put sex in paradise. Well, that was smart. Howard Stern would love it. And more, the prophet made killing a pleasure, he said. I wish I could be killed in the way of Allah, then live again, so that I may be killed again, then live again, so again I may be killed, then live again, so that again I may be killed. Why? Added Muhammad, killing unbelievers and using great slaughter to thoroughly subdue the land pleases God. Whoa! The Jewish left wing are not talking about this. Holiness, righteousness, manners, and decency in Islam are based upon examples set by Muhammad. according to one Muhammad's many Islamic biographers, quote, sincerely tread the footsteps of Allah's final messenger, Muhammad. Observe his glorious actions and articles, and most important of all, follow them. Today, hundreds of millions of Muslims model their lives on the example of the Prophet set during his years of peace. They model themselves on the tolerance and pluralism Muhammad showed in the days before his move to Yathrib and the commencement of his military campaigns. But others model themselves on the period of the Prophet's life in which he became addicted to the systematic use of what he calls slaughter and terror. No wonder ISIS is able to motivate Rizwan Farooq and Tashfeen Malak in San Bernardino, Omar Mateen in Orlando, Adamine Abawad in Paris, Mohamed Lathawusi in Bushehr in Nice, Abdul Razik Ali Artan in Ohio State, and the still uncaught truck driver in Berlin, to use trucks, knives, guns, and explosives to perform what Debak proudly calls massacre. No wonder these young idealists value death more than you and I value life. These warriors are following the example of Muhammad, by whose sword Allah exalted the light of Islam. Wow. That's an interesting article. So, he started out rather peaceful, just a regular cleric, and then he went bananas like Jim Jones. But the apologists for Islam, they don't talk about this much. But that's something you should share with your friends. They want to kill your ass so they can go to heaven and have big boob babes. Well, guess what? ISIS identified thousands of churches in the United States as attack targets during the holiday season, according to a message posted late night Wednesday in the group Secrets of Jihadists social media group. A user going by the name of Abu Maru al-Iraqi posted an Arabic language message calling for the bloody celebrations in Christian New Year and announced that the group's plans to utilize its network of lone wolf attackers to turn the Christian New Year into a bloody horror movie that will force the infidels to hide inside their burrows during their holidays in regret for participation of the countries in a war against Islamic State. We're gonna get you, bastards. So all you Christians out there that don't necessarily believe that you're gonna rise from the grave, might be good to stay home from church this holiday. Because the Islamic's going to get your best. Going to get you. They want you. They want you bloody. I'm scared to death now, man. Well, wait a minute. I'm not a Christian, so they're not going to come after me. Well, no, I'm a non-believer, so I knew. Oh, I'm a target, too. So I better hide down here in my bunker over the holiday. Lock the door. In the meantime, that's it for me. Let's see. This is Freya's Day, so I'll be back Moon's Day with another whole bunch of good news. Yeah.
Each morning a missionary advertises with neon signs. He tells the native population that civilization is dying. Educated savages holler from a bamboo tree. That civilization is a thing for me to see.
So bongo, 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 I don't wanna leave the Congo. Oh, no, 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 no. Bingo, bango, bongle, I'm so happy in the jungle I refuse to go. Don't want no bright lights, false teeth, doorbells, landlords, I make it clear.
No matter how they coax him,
I'll stay right here. look through a magazine the missionary's wife concealed.
Magazine? What happens?
I see how people who are civilized bung you with automobiles.
You know you can get hurt that way, Daniel?
At the movies they have got to pay many coconuts to see.
What do they see, Donnie?
Uncivilized pictures that the newsreel takes of me.
So, bongo, 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 he don't wanna leave the Congo. No, 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 no. Bingo, bango, bongo, he's so happy in the jungle he refused to go.
Don't want no penthouse, bathtubs, streetcars, taxis, noise in my ear.
So no matter how they coax here,
I'll stay right here.
They hurry like savages to get aboard an iron train.
The Tringalungu Hula Humble Express.
And though it's smoking and it's crowded, they're too civilized to complain.
Along the Toho Sohi Mahina, when they've got 2 weeks vacation, they hurry to vacation ground.
What do they do, Danny?
They swim and they fish, but that's what I do all year round.
So, bongo, 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 I don't want to leave the Congo.
Bingo, bango,
bango, I'm so happy in the jungle, I refuse to go.
Don't want no jailhouse,
shotgun,
fish hooks,
golf clubs,
I got my spears.
So no matter how they coax here,
I'll stay right here.
They have things like the atom bomb,
so I think I'll stay where I am.
Civilization, I'll stay right here.
At the risk of upsetting your stomach and spoiling your Christmas dinner, Danny Kaye, a lot of you may remember him, a lot of you don't. He was one of the many perverts in Hollywood. And Danny used to get his goodies off by having prostitutes hover over a glass coffee table and pooping on him, but not on him, on the glass, so he could look up there and see what's going on. Blah! That was Danny Kaye. Everybody worships him. All these Christians worship him, too. He was a good Jew that liked to poop. Like that judge we used to know down in San Diego that he was going to get kicked out of the because of ethics violations, because that was his favorite thing with prostitutes pooping on him. You know, they don't want to talk about that stuff, you know. Christians are too sensitive. That's it. I'll see you Monday.